Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
For my sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sakanek.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What's up?
Hello.
How are you?
Just licking my gambling wounds.
How are you guys? What do you mean? Did you lose a bunch of money this weekend?
I did.
Aw, Jace.
I had a bad first week of the playoffs. I bounced back with an excellent week during the divisional round. And then the conference title came along and just, woo. My personal life, that was a 1-5. I think on the show it might have been 0-4.
Oof. Well, fella.
Kansas City had to get that last one in and Buffalo to get the over. That was awesome. Thanks. Appreciate it. It's great.
Yeah, the over-under. Well, no, you won the.
You got the over under right on Bucks Packers because we both went the same way.
Yes, but no,
went over
the Bills. That was, like I said, I think in my. Oh, that's right. So on the show, at least I did win
1-3.
1-3 on the show. Mm-hmm. It was not. It was a bad. It was a bad weekend.
Well, you know what?
Bad weekend.
You know what they say?
What?
It's only money.
Yes. Plus, we got the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. So let's do this.
Double up to catch up.
Absolutely.
Your last game.
It worked in the divisional round. On the plus side, I'm dealing with enough cushion where I should be okay, but still, it's not good. It's not good to have
one
of those.
Well, you never like to see that.
It's not good to have one of those weekends. Plus, I was all part of the Bills Mafia. I was ready for me and the Bills to be one. Like, I didn't really, in my heart, I knew Kansas City was going to win, but I was all in on the Bills. I picked them at the start of the playoffs. Let's do this. And then, no.
They weren't ready.
No, they weren't.
They weren't ready for that moment.
We
thought they might be, but they weren't.
They were not ready. Especially
their coach.
Nope. Just cowardly field goals across the board. What the hell? Come on, Bills and Packers.
Well, we thought it was going to be Bills-Packers. A lot of people did.
Well, yeah.
Again, you know.
When you make that pick at the start of the playoffs.
The two hot teams.
Yeah, you're feeling good about it. I went into that weekend just fired up. I'm like, let's do this.
You know what the lesson is there? Is that maybe a gambling or maybe just in general as a fan, the lesson is it doesn't matter who's hot or who's not. It really doesn't. Just it's about matchups and who plays better that.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the whole any given Sunday thing.
Well, and
it's true.
And you look at Josh Allen had a bit of a regress there. And he had three of his receivers that were all limping around out there. I mean, you had one healthy receiver in Stephon Diggs. Turns out that, you know, one of your guys is playing on a broken leg, and then lo and behold, no one's able to get separation. Yeah, that might have something to do with it.
Come on, they got rolled.
They did.
They got rolled.
They did.
All right, well, that's sports talk, though.
That was very sportsy.
Who cares about that?
Well, my wallet did.
Yeah, Suk's money cares about
that. My money cared about this weekend. I do love that, like, when family members come down, no one gives a damn about, like, who I'm rooting for. They're just like, it's not going well gambling, huh, Pop? I'm like, no. No, it's not, son. And he comes over and, like, pats me on the shoulder. It's like, I still love you. And then he wanders off to go do whatever he's going to do.
Maybe you should write a letter to your bookie and say you made a mistake and you'd like your money back. Give him a one-star rating.
Does the Oregon Lottery, can I do that? Dear Oregon Lottery.
You got some pull with them. We're partners.
It was a time of duress in my life.
How about that?
Things were going south.
Send a nasty email. Like, look, you know, we're on here. We're doing all this work for your app. And
the bookie with
I managed
heart.
To lose $1,000. Could I get that back, please? Thank you.
Can we go ahead? Well, how about just cancel out like half of it? I don't need it all back. Just, you know, like half a leather bag. Come on.
Something tells me they won't care.
No, I don't think so.
Well, I'm sorry that happened to you.
But other than that, it was a very nice weekend. Even Sunday wasn't as bad as they said it was going to be.
Yeah, it was kind of cold out there.
My
I had to cancel my tea time.
My two, I played on Saturday. I did not attempt to do anything on Sunday. My my two daughters, they drove 5 hours on Sunday to go to a rainforest.
Where?
Somewhere up in the corner of Washington.
Why?
I don't know. To this, I'm puzzled.
Sounds lame.
I'm kind of thinking that
what
maybe...
What do you do in a rainforest?
Isn't the Pacific Northwest a rainforest?
I was like, what do you... I'm thinking they're running drugs. I'm not certain of it, but I think something else is going on. Who drives on a Sunday? They woke up at 5 in the morning. By the way, I found out on like Saturday. It was like Saturday night, and my youngest is like, hey, by the way, I'm going to be gone all day tomorrow. I'm like, hey, thanks for telling me. What's happening? She goes, well, me and the older one, we're going to a rainforest. And I went, what? Rainforest?
I think that's to do.
Can't you just go to a forest where it's raining here?
They're going there to do drugs.
5 hours? Five?
Again, they're going there to trip.
Something's up, right? Like ayahuasca, something weird's going down. Like who drive? Like I get driving to see something, you know, 2-3 hours to go up to Seattle or something. 5 hours? What the hell, man? Like driving to Canada and then turn around the same day?
Yeah, maybe it's a good bonding experience for the girls.
Something's up. Because when I got back, I was asking a lot of questions, and no one really had answers for them.
Yeah. You don't want to know.
No, probably not.
Leave it alone.
Something weird's going down in my household.
Hey, they didn't get arrested.
That is true, and they got home safely.
All is good.
Yeah.
All right, well, lost in all the hullabaloo of football this weekend. Did I read right that Conor McGregor got knocked out?
Yeah, got his ass whooped. Well,
did you watch it?
I did. Illegal. Well,
was that a pay-per-view?
Yes.
You watched it illegally?
No, I did not.
So you're the one committing the crime.
I paid for it. How about I went over to someone's house? Wait, is that a crime now too?
That's against the rules. It's against COVID.
I ordered it. Don't look into that, but I ordered it and sat on my couch and watched it and everything was fine. He looked good in the
completely
first.
Completely alone?
Completely alone.
Well, wearing your mask and your face shield and your
own. Special lady friend was there, but we were socially distanced.
Of course.
We were all masked up.
You haven't been within 6 feet of her since this started.
No. It was all on the up and up. Yeah, he looked good in the first round, and then he took a kick to the calf, and that was about it.
Who beat him? Who's the guy?
Is it Poirier or the guy's name?
Why are you
asking
him?
I like how you look at me as if I'm going to know anything.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I just saw a picture with Conor McGregor.
Sleeping.
Basically sleeping, and I'm like, whoa, isn't he supposed to be like really good?
Yeah.
That guy?
Yeah, but he hasn't fought in a while, and look, he's...
Is he old now?
He's in his early 30s, but he's made a bunch of money, and you know, I don't know if it's quite there.
Was the fix in?
No. He got the Poirier guy was he kicked him in the leg, and then he couldn't really stand, and then
he went for the shins. Huh?
Yeah, we kicked him in the calf.
And, like, the calf.
Yeah, he like literally like one of these little low side kicks, and he couldn't stand, and then he just caught him with some shots, and then it just was, dude, he just laid him out. I mean, it was a vicious, vicious knockout. And I don't ask me about any of the others, because even though I paid for the fight, I may not have watched the other fights.
Yeah, well, I don't care about any of the others.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was on until I saw.
I didn't really care about any of the other fights either. But I still paid for it and did not watch it illegally. Just want that for the record.
I feel like they have too few rounds in that sport.
What do you mean?
That's how I feel.
Really?
Yeah. Like, what round did the...
Second.
Well, there you go.
Well, championship fights go 5. The regular ones go 3.
Oh, 5. Okay, I thought it was just 3.
The regular fights go 3, and then the championship fights go 5. So they call 4 and 5 the championship rounds because, you know, they don't exist. But, like, you couldn't have 10 or 12 rounds of UFC.
Well, I don't want 10 or 12 rounds, but I want more than 3.
Okay, well, in the championship fights, you get 5.
All right. Well, I'm sorry, Connor.
Well, actually, you got 2.
Yeah, you did get 2.
He got knocked out.
His fights do not usually go the distance, no.
Like out cold.
He was shillelied.
What was the guy as an underdog? Like,
it wasn't. He was an underdog, but it wasn't a significant underdog. He's a big deal. Like,
is he the best guy now?
Sidney
Poitier?
Yes, Sidney Poitier. He's got an Oscar, and now this.
Is there anything he can't do?
The main guy, like the best pound-for-pound guy in the sport is in their division, and he retired, and so he's off.
Who's that?
That's Khabib.
Oh.
So he's gone. And so this was kind of for the title. It was whoever won this was going to be considered the champion because the other guy's retired and is off wearing his cool fuzzy hat, out in the middle of nowhere. But he's like the guy, the Khabib. He's like the guy. But this was this was a big fight. This was not like a huge shocker. I mean, anytime McGregor had never been knocked out before, so it was a big deal. But you know,
were they on Fight Island?
They were on Fight Island,
which is where.
It's an island off of Abu Dhabi, I think.
Oh, that's right. That's what they said.
Yeah.
Dubai. Huh. Cool.
Someone saying the Conor closed at -310.
Oh,
okay.
I mean, everyone bet on him because they know who he is.
Because he's Conor McGregor.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, this was not like a huge
not a one. Stunner.
No.
It's not a Buster Douglas.
No. Dude, this other guy can throw hands. I mean, a lot of people think he's the best boxer in the UFC, and he just kind of proved it.
Did he bite any kneecaps?
He did not. Someone's saying though that he broke his leg with the
what?
With the kick.
Well, Cole Beasley can play on a broken leg, so big deal, right?
I think this is slightly different.
Can we find that out? Cole Beasley played with a broken fibula for 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's a. And then you get the internet tough guy that's saying that it's not a big deal because it's a non-weight-bearing bone. I've seen that one out there. Internet warrior guy's like, well, it's not that big a deal.
Well, if he's playing, is it? Yeah, I mean, look, I know it's...
Dude, that's a...
It hurts,
but... You played with a broken leg. That's... For three games, it's a pretty ballsy move.
All right. I stand down on that.
I like
Connor's, or not Connor, but who are we talking about? Cole Beasley?
Beasley.
He's a rapper. I'll give him a break.
He is. I do not think that he would be able to fight on that broken leg. I think if he got kicked in that, that would be something
interesting.
Else.
He can play football on it, but not fight on it?
I don't think you can fight on that. Getting kicked in your leg like that is a significant thing. And I do love, again, all the internet tough guys that somehow are making fun of McGregor because he got knocked out. Well, I mean, TKO, they stopped the fight. He was out. He was laying on the ground and wasn't moving. Look, in that sport, and not that I'm like the world's biggest UFC guy. I watch the bigger fights and know the bigger fighters, but I'm not like a hardcore P1 of it. But that sport, dude, guys lose. It's not boxing. No one goes 50-0. You do get caught sometimes. But I just love the people that want to mock. That is the ballsiest thing you can do in athletics. There's nothing like it. And I love boxing. I'm a bigger boxing fan than I am an MMA fan, but there is nothing like stepping into that cage. And anyone that does that at a high level, or any level for that matter, you have my undying respect, because that takes balls unlike anything else. I know football players are tough. I know wrestlers are tough. Hockey players are tough. There is nothing like getting into a cage with another man, and it's just human cockfighting. And all he's in there trying to do is to take your head off. There's nothing like that. And so he got caught with some shots and got laid out. But I love the internet warriors that love to make fun of someone because they got caught and they got knocked out. I'm not even a McGregor guy, but geez, like that guy.
Well, you know, they're just sports fans. Yeah. You know how sports fans are.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the, and that's not all sports. I'm just saying, like, it's entertainment for them.
Yeah.
You know, they're not saying, hey, oh, this guy's not tough or whatever. They just, you know, people talk S.
Yeah.
It's part of the entertainment part of the event. Now, look, I'm looking at McGregor's leg here.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's nasty. And it does look like he bit his kneecap. Are you sure he didn't?
Dan Campbell
style?
I do not believe that he bit his kneecap, but he gave him one hell of a kick. And that's the thing. Like, sometimes you're watching those fights and some stuff seems fairly insignificant. Like, a lot of guys do these low kicks. They kick him in the thigh. They kick him in the shin.
It's like when you're watching boxing and the body blows.
Yeah.
You're like.
Yeah, you shrug that off.
I'm sure he's fine.
But then watch a training video of one of these guys, like, kicking the heavy bag, and then imagine your little meaty leg just sitting there and taking that. And then, like, we watch it and like, oh, no big deal. Like, someone will be doing some foot stomps or whatever, or hit you with the shoulder. And people are like, I can't believe that hurt you. Like, you can't? Like, let me come over there and stomp on your foot or hit you with my shoulder and see if that smarts a little bit.
Yeah, I've always contended those guys are all crazy. They're just crazy.
You
have a screw loose to be able to do that.
There is an element of that. Well, most of them are like ex-wrestlers, and wrestlers are kind of crazy to begin with. So.
Right. All right.
But, you know, hey, for two rounds, it was, well, round and
There's
a half.
There's your first segment.
It was interesting.
It included hot UFC talk. So don't give us any crap the next time you say... Or think that we don't talk fighting, ultimate fighting. Because so we do.
You don't watch any of that at all?
No.
You know, there's nothing nothing there for you?
No. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested. But I did, I thought it was a big deal that Conor McGregor was headlining my ESPN.com yesterday.
Yep.
So I thought I'd ask.
Every now and then there's someone come along in whatever sport you have. You know, Tyson, Tiger Woods, Ali. You know, Ronda Rousey had this in UFC. I mean, there's been a handful of people, but he was a crossover star. He was the guy, and this proves his star power. You can debate how good he ever was or if it was all hype. And Floyd Mayweather took some shots at him, saying that he copied him. But the fact that you know who he is and that you somewhat pay attention, for those sports,
he's a big deal.
There is a huge, that's a huge deal.
Tell you what, I was in Vegas. Last year, was this last year's trip to Vegas?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the one in March, right as COVID hit.
Yeah.
And McGregor was at the, he had won a fight in Vegas and came to the hotel I was staying at after it. Oh boy, you want to talk about a big deal.
Yeah.
That was just as big a deal, if not bigger, than when I was there and the Cavs showed up after winning the title. LeBron and all those guys were there.
McGregor
had just as big, if not bigger, of a swath of people following him around.
That dude grabbed the UFC by the cojones there and owned it for a while. But to be honest, you know, you guys are worth $100-something million now. And how much desire do you have? His best days are behind him. He's a big name. He'll still make draws. But, you know, the days of him being the guy, they're probably done. They probably ended on that mat getting put to sleep and becoming a meme.
Well, they'll probably get a rematch, right?
Yes. Yeah, so, well, they already fought once way long ago. So
it'll be the third.
Yeah, this will be the trilogy.
Yeah. So they'll get a big old payday.
Yep.
I think even McGregor said it at the end. There was a video of them talking to each other after the fight, and he goes, oh, I'll see you in a year.
Yeah. And can I just say, for the record, in my opinion, McGregor's whiskey is trash, but that's just
me. He has an Irish whiskey?
Yep.
Yeah, I've read about that,
proper
too.
12. And
it's not very good?
It's proper crap, in my opinion.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Okay.
Jameson, thank you very much.
All right, well, first segment down. One down, 16 to go. Wait, 15 to go.
It seems like a lot.
Is that right? We have four hours, 16. 15 to go.
Bingo.
You ready to talk some football?
Let's do it.
Boy, do we have a lot to discuss. Did you see all the games?
I did see all the games.
See all those plays that were made out
and
there?
And I paid for them legitimately, yes.
Yeah.
Much like the UFC fight.
You know these games well.
They didn't have all the weird ads that kept popping up, though, which was nice.
What do you mean? Oh, on the pay-per-view?
When I bought the ESPN fight legally, for whatever reason, all these ads kept popping up. And I was like, what? What's going on? I paid for this.
All right. Well, let's start. Let's just dig in, damn it. We've got a lot to cover here. The conference championships have come and gone. And now there's one game left.
There is.
But we'll tell you who's playing.
This week.
Yeah, no, we got 2 weeks to talk about.
And no
old
Pro
guy
Bowl?
Versus.
What the hell?
Yeah, who cares about the Pro Bowl? But you know how often you're going to hear about old guy versus young guy?
Just kill me
for
now.
For 2 weeks?
The passing of the torch.
Kill me now.
The legend to the
Jordan
new legend.
Jordan versus LeBron.
So let's get started. 317 on the fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, I was just reading a review of McGregor's whiskey.
Yeah.
By one of those snobby taster guys.
Sure.
And he calls it mostly disappointing. And gave it 3 out of 5 stars.
Well, look, I'm not like some fancy, whiskey snob. I mean, I like Jameson. I drink quite a bit of it. And I tried his once at a bar. And, it's just bad. I mean, you know,
you want this guy's summary?
Yeah. What's the, cause you know, my summary. Bleh.
Yeah. This guy's name,
it tastes like a Welfang. Like if you got that, like just neat or on the rocks, you would not be happy. You put that in some ginger ale. Maybe it's just not good.
Nathan Gertie's. I don't know. Whiskeywash.com.
Yeah.
This mostly disappointing whiskey encompasses both bitter and sweet, all while packing a punch that is still a bit rough around the edges. I guess you could say it's a good representation of Mr. McGregor,
yeah.
Although maybe not such a good representation of Irish whiskey.
It's made him a bunch of money, so, I mean...
Well, yeah, he puts his name on it.
That guy can promote anything.
Well, you know, he's one of those guys, most of the celebrity, you get to a certain level where it doesn't matter what you put your name on.
Yeah.
It's selling. Like, I mean, my God, Gwyneth Paltrow has a candle that smells like her vagine,
and it sells out. And her orgasm as well. Let's not forget that.
So, I mean, come on.
Well, The Rock's, like, a bunch of guys are doing this now. Like, The Rock's got a tequila. Haven't tried it. Not a big tequila
guy. Does it smell like his vagine?
Boy, I don't know if The Rock has one of those. It would be like Terramana, I think it is. Metallica's got a whiskey that I have that I actually quite like, Blackened. But a bunch of the celebrities
now. Yeah, but wait. When they say, like, Conor McGregor had somebody else make this whiskey.
Yeah.
Like, he had no...
Yeah, he probably had nothing.
It's like Ryan Reynolds buying that gin company. It's like, you know...
Aviation gin. Yeah. 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 The celebrities,
Just put their name on it.
Yeah.
Because their name's big, they can cash checks.
Yeah. And you got to hope that who's ever making it is good. Because you'll try it once. I don't know about you. I'll try something.
Sure.
And be like, oh, I'll give that a whirl. But, boy, you're not going to get me because your name's on it. It better be good.
Right. I mean, if a band... Yeah, like I'm actually going to shy away from something.
Yeah.
Typically that is not in their genre. Like if a band puts their name on a guitar.
Sure.
That's one thing. Yeah. If a band puts their name on a lawnmower, mm-hmm. I'm like, what? Like, it's like a red flag to me.
Yeah.
Like Conor McGregor and whiskey, I get it. He's Irish the whole bit, but that's a red flag. It's like, yeah. I guarantee that's not good because Conor McGregor's endorsing it. If it were good, they wouldn't need Conor McGregor.
That is a valid point. The only two celebrity stuff that I actually like, Metallica does have a good whiskey, Blackened. And a lot of times people come over to the house and I'll serve that. And people are usually surprised. They're like, what is this? It's quite good on its own. And then I don't know if you like rum at all. But believe it or not, that Kenny Chesney fellow has a line of rums that are really, really good.
Hmm. All right.
So there's my celebrity, my limited celebrity, like, booze report.
All right. AAA heating and cooling poll question today. Family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. It is on our website, 1080thefan.com. Today we're asking you which performance was more impressive, Chiefs dismantling the Red Hot Bills or Brady and the Bucks winning in Green Bay. Log on and vote. Which of your sports gambling losses would you like to talk about first?
The Chefs was the more impressive one. If you want to jump off there, that was quite impressive. Buffalo was red hot. I liked Buffalo in that. I thought they had some momentum. I think Kansas City has kind of sleptwalked through much of the year, even though they're 15-2 now. 16-2? And I thought maybe Mahomes was going to be beat up a little bit. I really thought that you could have, and they had some offensive line issues. I thought Buffalo had a chance in that. And
well, they're up 9-0.
They're up 9-0. And then Kansas City, they flipped a switch. And that was, they've shown flashes of it, but that's what Kansas City is capable of. And I know it's going to look like just this unbelievable ass kicking, and it was. But if you go back and look at that, there were, when that game was still in doubt and it was, you know, between a 9 and a 12 point game, Buffalo was a half a step away from sacking Mahomes 5 different times, and they couldn't get him. And every time that guy just kept moving the chains and had a new funky arm angle. And after a while, it was like inevitable that you couldn't stop Kansas City. That was peak Kansas City offense. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I was really impressed because that's the number one scoring offense in the NFL. And yes, their receivers, almost all of them except for Diggs, were pretty banged up. But that was a great defensive effort on the part of Kansas City. And if they play like that, no one beats them, including Tampa Bay.
The thing is, okay, Kansas City's offense is backbreaking.
Yeah.
Like you said, I mean, Patrick Mahomes wasn't even full strength, and he was still elusive enough to just buy just that little bit of time.
Half a count.
And then... Kansas City just has too many weapons. Like they're just unguardable. Like when all else breaks down, you could play a perfect play on defense. Everybody does their job. You get after Mahomes quickly, and he buys 2 seconds, not even 2 seconds, a split second to slide away from somebody, and there's Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce or whomever. Sammy Watkins doesn't even play.
Nope.
You got all these guys who are just out there getting open, and you can't stay with them. It's impossible. If Mahomes can get away from the pass rush like that, which that was the big question going into that game, is that toe going to make him so immobile that the Bills will be able to get to him, right?
And the answer to that?
The answer was no. Nope. The toe did. It, you could tell it was bothering him. He wasn't quite as nimble as before, but he was nimble enough. And that's if everything goes your way on defense, they still get you for 5, 7, 10, 15 yards. Like, they're just impossible. They're absolutely impossible to stop. Kansas City. And so this whole idea that Kansas City has slept walked.
You're doing great.
Slept walked. Yeah, I guess that's what it is.
Is it sleepwalked?
Is it?
I don't know. I'm just asking the question.
They've been sleepwalking.
I like that.
There you go. They're 25-2 in their last 27 games.
Yep.
And one of those losses was a week 17 rest all the starters. We don't care about this game. They've lost one game in 27.
That was the Raiders.
And the Raiders went in there and beat them. So they're pretty much unstoppable. The thing about the whole, like, they're sleepwalking and this and that, you know, every game is different. And, you know, they're capable of shooting themselves in the foot. They're capable of being super inefficient. Kansas City, I'm talking about. Like in Cleveland, you know, they were doing the same thing to Cleveland they did to Buffalo. Mm-hmm. It's just that their quarterback got hurt. And right before he got hurt, they hadn't been punching in sevens like they did against Buffalo. They were kicking field goals. So they can be susceptible in that way. But generally speaking, if you play a full four quarters, which they always do, they never cut the game short, do they? And Kansas City gets enough possessions, you will not stop them. You saw this in the Super Bowl last year with San Francisco. That's as good of a defense as they're going to play.
And for three quarters, they were great.
Couldn't stop them in the fourth quarter. So they're just too good. But Buffalo had their chances. It's like, you know, you're up 9-0. First of all, kicking a field goal, that initial field goal was so dumb.
It's absurd. It's so cowardly.
And then Kansas City, you know, muffed punt.
Yep.
That led to their touchdown. You know, you got to be up 14-0 right there before Kansas City, I think before they even touched the ball, short of the muff punt, right? Because Kansas City, they haven't punted. Did you hear what they say, what they said on the broadcast?
Yeah, about their punt team.
Romo said they hadn't punted since the Super Bowl last year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
In the playoffs. It's just like they don't punt. Like, you will not stop them. The best you can do is hope to hold them to field goals, or maybe they turn it over.
And the Raiders did that. The Chargers did that. The teams that have been able to either beat them or keep it close, it's no mystery. Rush four. Whoop! What's happening there?
Yeah, you or me?
That's me. That's my computer. My computer has speakers now.
Hey.
Yeah. Look at that.
Things are looking up at intercom.
You have to.
Is that a good thing if that's going
to
happen?
I had to turn the sound off. You have to rush. You have to rush four.
Yeah.
And make Kansas City just dink and dunk down the field. And I thought early on Buffalo was doing that. Well, and the idea is that either you shoot them, they shoot themselves in the foot, or you get a sack. But Kansas City was fine. Kansas City didn't make any mistakes going down the field. And then eventually they started getting big plays. And
then it broke their back.
And
that's what I'm saying about Buffalo. I just don't think there's a defense in football, including Tampa Bay, that can stop Kansas City. And that is not to mean you can't beat them, because, again, if they turn it over, you get some weird things happen, just like what happened in the first quarter in Buffalo, or you are able to hold them somehow to threes and not sevens for a good period of the game. You know, you can beat them. They've been in a lot of games. Like, a lot of teams have come really close to beating them.
Yep.
But when push comes to shove, Romo was saying this really well, really eloquently on the broadcast. When push comes to shove, they don't care the score. Ultimately, you will not stop them if they need a score, right? And so
you got to outscore them.
They're just done. They're just pretty much unbeatable.
Which is why I couldn't believe that Buffalo was kicking field goals.
I know.
And if you're Tampa Bay and you're Bruce Arians, you have to go into the game saying, even if it ends up, you know, costing us in hindsight, you got to have some balls, and it's 4th and 1. I don't care. You're going for it. And if it's 3rd and goal from the 4, guess what? Or 4th and goal from the 3 or 4, you're going for it, because you won't beat them kicking field goals. You just won't.
Yeah. The time to be concerned, like, I feel like the next segment we should talk about just the young coaches' decisions, because Matt LaFleur is taking a lot of heat for the late field goal. And
he should.
McDermott
kicked. That might be the most cowardly field goal I've ever seen.
See, I thought McDermott's second one was even worse.
Oof.
But that was 4th and goal from the 2.
Yeah, but that to me.
Two.
I mean, at the end of the game, I think situationally,
and they were already down 12.
The situation, you know, it still makes it a 2-score game. But situationally, I just.
Well, but here's the thing.
That may kill Aaron Rodgers' career in Green Bay.
The time to be conservative is not in Kansas City against Mahomes and Reed with a trip to the Super Bowl on the line.
Nope.
Blows me away that Sean McDermott, who's been a gunslinger, it seems like, all year, decided to do that. I think the next great analytic is the number, like showing the number of when to go for it in the red zone based on who you're playing, right?
Should.
If you're playing Kansas City or Green Bay,
that's different.
That is a totally different decision than if you're playing Jacksonville or, you know, Tennessee, or if the game is just if the weather's really bad and you know points are going to be at a premium, right? Like, that's different. It just is unbelievable to me that young coaches like LaFleur and McDermott get in this spot, or maybe it shouldn't be believable or shouldn't be unbelievable because they are so inexperienced in the spot, but they just flat out choke.
I agree.
Coaches can choke, man, and they both choked.
I agree.
Let's talk more about it next. Text 503-250-1080 if you'd like some thoughts to get in here. Here's Lynch with Sports Center.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're talking about these young coaches, yo. And we'll talk about LaFleur in a second, but I just thought, you know, the Bills were awesome over the last, 12, 13 weeks. Like, mm-hmm. They hadn't lost, right?
They were one fluky play away from, what, I think, rattling off 13 or 14 in a row?
Yeah, that was the...
The Flail Mary or whatever they're calling it.
Well, the Hail Murray.
Hail Murray.
In Arizona.
Yeah.
But, you know, you watch a guy like McDermott and Josh Allen, and you look at particularly McDermott, and you go, man, there's a guy that gets it, right? Like, this guy... He goes for it a lot. You know, he doesn't even care about running the football. Look at the progress Josh Allen's made. Like, this team is red hot. You know that when they're in Kansas City, they are going to pull out all the stops.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you feel that. You're like, this Buffalo team's got nothing to lose. They're the underdog. This is the defending champs. They're going to be going for it right and left and trick plays and this and that. And, oh, my God, Sean McDermott could not have been any more conservative. And I just think he choked. Like, I think his game was way worse than LaFleur's in that the first field goal, I guess I get, because it's the first drive of the game. You want to cash in points.
Yeah.
Even if we give him a pass there. Fourth and goal from the 2.
And you kick the field goal?
From the 2. And then he goes for 2 down 17, which was Romo kept saying was the dumbest thing ever because you didn't get it. And now you need 3 scores instead of 2.
If you just kick the field goal, it goes down to 16, dude. And it's a 2-score game. And it made it worse because you got the kick.
Horrible.
Right? And then there was twice they kicked a field goal to take it from 12 to 9. It's still a 2-score game.
Horrible.
Like, what are you doing? Like, you have to in your mind know that you've got to find a way to get this to a 1-score game and then maybe get a big play on defense or something. But you've struggled to move the ball all game long. You haven't stopped Kansas City at all. The only people that have stopped Kansas City is Kansas City on the muffed punt. So what are you doing? It just made no sense to me. Like, you would think, like, let's go back. We were talking to the UFC earlier. Like, you're going to, like, a fight analogy, right? If you're going in against a guy that is got the best conditioning in the game, right? And he can go 12 rounds or he can go 5 rounds in the UFC, whatever, and he doesn't gas out at all, right? And he gets stronger as the fight goes on. Don't you realize that you have to go in the first couple rounds and try to knock him out? Or vice versa. If you've got a guy that you know is going to gas out, then you don't go for broke at the beginning, right? You try to take him into the deeper rounds. How do you not know that you're facing a juggernaut that you can't stop? How do you know? How do you not realize that 7s are going to be needed, not 3s, and yet continually you do it if you're Buffalo? I was so disappointed, and I get maybe you realize your offense is struggling, you can't get separation, and you're like, oh, points are at a premium. But did you really think that scoring 24 or 25 or 28 was going to be enough?
Yeah,
We all knew.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it is. It's like, we can sit there and watch these games and go, dude, you're going up against Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes. You're going to need at least Well, hell, they're going to need 40 to win this game.
Probably.
How does Sean McDermott not know that?
I don't know.
What game is he watching? That's what's crazy about it, is these coaches give you every indication that, man, these are cutting edge guys that know what they're doing. And then push comes to shove. And it's like, that dude, that guy was out to lunch.
Yep.
And the thing about it is, too, if you're a Bills fan, is you can't take being in that spot for granted. You know, I think a lot of teams, particularly with young quarterbacks that good, they take it for granted. They're like, well, okay, lost that game, but what a great run, and we'll be back soon enough, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't quite work that way. Talk to the Jags about that.
Yeah.
Talk to the Eagles about, now the Eagles won one, but talk to them about where they're at 2 years after they, 3 years after they won the Super Bowl. I mean, you got to go for broke in that spot. I can't believe Buffalo didn't, but I guess you live and you learn, and maybe McDermott will be better next year, and that's a good team. Don't get me wrong. At the same time, boy, they were not up to the task.
No.
Like, at all. Josh Allen was not good.
Nope.
That defense got exposed.
There was a great one at the end where he threw it. I forget the Kansas City defender, but Allen was on the ground, man. It caused the pushing and shoving. He threw the ball and hit him in the head with it.
Yeah.
There were so many great people who were like, Josh Allen chooses now to be accurate. Most accurate ball he threw all night. Yeah. And it's weird because Allen had been so good, right, for the entire year. And I don't know if it was... You know, Tony Romo kept saying sticky coverage. Again, I do think it mattered that three of their starting receivers were all dealing with significant injuries, and you could see Davis, Brown all limping, and then Beasley was playing on a broken leg. I do think that mattered. But still, Allen, even when he had time, which was not very often, he just wasn't accurate. And you saw him go back to that weird, funky delivery where he was throwing with his shoulders square and kind of awkward feet. It was almost as if, I'm not going to say the moment was too big for him, but I just think everything got caught up and he was off rhythm because of there was no separation. There was no clear place to go with the ball. He was under pressure. I thought he regressed in his mechanics and you could see it. And he was very errant with the football.
He probably thought he had to do everything.
There was probably an element.
When you don't have a run game, it's like, it's all him. And so I get that. And look, you know, maybe they will be back. That's a good team, good run. But holy crap.
The rubber met the road. And,
not even close.
Nope.
Not even close.
And that's the thing.
You have to get touchdowns to beat Kansas City.
And when you're playing a team like Kansas City, and especially the way it, you know, after the second quarter, you're like, oh, geez.
Well, and they hand you a punt return
fumble.
Exactly,
right? You know you need to be on your cues. I still, if they played that game 10 times, Buffalo can be in that game. Like I said, there was at least five or six times where they had Patrick Mahomes dead to rights, and they couldn't wrap him up, and then Mahomes was making ridiculous plays. Like, you just have to have everything go your way, and you got to bring your A game, and Buffalo didn't, and they got run out of the building.
Yeah, some text here, 503-250-1080. Somebody say, hey, the Kansas City secondary was really good yesterday. Probably the only secondary that played well yesterday. They made it really hard all day, and they sure as hell did. You know, that's a group that doesn't get any credit. And I get it. Well, it's Tampa. Tampa's got a little of this too, because everybody's just jocking Tom Brady, but their defense was great.
Yep.
You know, like, maybe not necessarily as much on the back end, but the pass rush, but the Kansas City defense is criminally underrated. Like, they're really good.
They played really, really well. And they showed it a bunch of times where even when Allen had time, there just wasn't a lot of open guys.
I have a question.
They played well.
This will be for next segment. Sitting there watching Tyrann Mathieu be just a stud again. Why did that dude bounce around the league? Like, what is it about Tyrann Mathieu that, cause I feel like he's been a star the second he got into the NFL, but yet nobody seems to want him. And then he gets cast off to Kansas City and he sticks and he's a stud.
We can talk about
that. What is that about? Because he's awesome.
He is. He's really good. Some of that was just the safety market and contract stuff, but you're right in that he has been an impact player from the moment he has stepped foot on the field. And by the way, he was a huge impact player at LSU. And the only thing, he had the drug issues.
Okay. We'll talk about it too, but we should mention when we're talking about his issues, Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Well, look, and how none of that has stuck to him.
Tyreek Hill is a scumbag. Mathieu is not.
Right, but Tyreek Hill is way worse in terms of the off-field stuff.
Yes.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Didn't even, not like Ray Rice. No, I get it. Two different skill levels at the time their incidents occurred. But at the same time, like,
also a video and no video.
Yeah. But think about how Ray Rice was viewed. And Tyreek Hill, that thing just kind of got swept under the rug, and he's just out there dancing around.
He had another one where allegedly he broke his kid's arm. Look, Tyron Hill is a scumbag, but...
Well, Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill, what did I say?
You said Tyron.
Oh, no.
That would be Tyron Matthew.
Yes.
Not to be confused with Tyreek Matthew.
Tyreek.
Who is his brother.
Mr. Hill
is
not a good human being, but...
But the Chiefs, you know, they don't care.
Nope.
They don't care.
Nope.
Let's talk about that next. 349 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, it's a lot about Brady. It's a lot about Mahomes. But, man, both of those defenses are good. Kansas City's never gets talked about.
No.
Literally ever. Like, if you, you know, just average fan, name their stud pass rusher, Kansas City. Because, you know, there's a stud pass rusher on every elite team like this. Well, name them.
And their best lineman by far is an interior, and that's Chris Jones. But Frank Clark would probably be their guy, and he's been good. But neither one of those guys gets anywhere near the talk that some of the other elite defensive linemen.
Never.
Chris Jones got last night was crazy.
Chris Jones is really good. And he kind of reminds me, I'm trying to think around the league of someone like Fletcher Cox to me is this sort of player, and that interior wise, like you hear about like JJ Watt and Aaron Donald. And then from an interior standpoint, who's the other, you know, we don't get a lot of talk about those guys. It's all about the edge rushers. But if you want some of these guys, they can be just as disruptive, if not more. It's just, it's harder to rack up 16 sacks when you're playing in the middle like that. But Chris Jones is an absolute wrecking ball in the middle of that Chiefs defense.
I didn't see how many sacks they got against Josh Allen, but it seemed like they had him.
He was under pressure,
running around a lot.
He was under pressure a lot.
And then Tyron Matthew, so he was in Arizona for quite a while.
Yep, and was a stud.
He was a stud, and then they just let him go.
Well,
and then he goes to Houston, and he's only in Houston for 1 year.
Yep.
And then he lands in Kansas City. A player that good, it's surprising that he's bounced around the way he has.
Well, it was weird. So he was really good, and he was a Pro Bowl player in Arizona for a long time, and they signed him to a big deal. And then he ended up getting hurt, and then it came down to they asked him to take a pay cut, if you remember, and he said no. And so they released him because he was making a bunch of money. And I don't know if you remember this, but it was this weird offseason where no safety got paid. Like there was a bunch of quality safeties out there, and no one was getting any money, and all the safeties were pissed about it. Like no one could figure it out. And he signed a 1 year kind of prove it deal in Houston because there just wasn't any other big money spots to land. No one would give any secondary guys, any safeties, any kind of money. And then he had a great year in Houston, and then, you know, Kansas City gave him a bunch of dough, and lo and behold, he made a huge difference in that defense. Because if you remember, the knock on Kansas City was they had this great offense and their defense kicked rocks. Well, they get Tyron Matthew, and all of a sudden, you know, in a stunning development, the defense gets a lot better. So he's getting his due respect now, and they gave him a pretty decent contract. But he just kind of had that funky period there at the end of Arizona and the 1 year in Houston where you start to get a little bit older, you make a bunch of money, you have an injury-plagued year, and all of a sudden teams are like, well, we don't want to pay you what we agreed to. And
his history also had some red flags in it, not like obviously the Tyreek Hill stuff, but you mentioned it last segment. You know, at LSU, there was some of the drug stuff. And even in Arizona, there was always talk of, well, he's really good, but... So I think that also probably hurt him in that market.
But make no mistake, that guy can flat out play. And he's a difference
maker. Awesome.
And Kansas City has done a nice job of quietly putting together...
They have.
An unassuming, but a defense that... And it helps, by the way, when you have that offense because you have to play... Teams are playing from behind.
Yeah, but you're playing some pretty elite... Well, yes, you're right. It helps when you have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, I don't think they're in, quote, dynasty range, end quote.
Yeah.
Without an elite defense.
Sure.
If they don't have an elite defense, nobody's talking about this. Like, oh, my God, Kansas City's going to rattle off however many in a row, which, you know, they still got to beat Tampa Bay. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. At the same time, when you look at Mahomes' contract, he's only 25. and you look at some of the players that they have, just like the whole roster that they've built out, they are in dynasty range.
Yeah.
They really are. And it's kind of scary, but we're not talking about that if they don't have a good defense. Here's the question. Name Kansas City's GM. That guy's not a household name either. He's done a great job.
Is he the guy from New England?
I think he did come from New England. He's been there 4 years.
I thought for whatever reason he may have come over. Is it Brett Veach?
Brett Veach.
Where did he come from? I didn't see where he came from.
Looking dude.
Yeah, he is a young, dashing sort of gentleman there.
Yeah, I don't know where he came from, but no, you never hear about him either.
No.
All you hear about is Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Eric Bieniemy.
Well, and they have got two of the better. And
he came from the Eagles, by the way.
Oh, he came from the Eagles.
He was a coaching intern, a coach's assistant, and a scout for the Eagles. Then he went to the Chiefs, where he was a pro and college personnel analyst, co-director of player personnel, and now GM.
Okay. So they promoted him from within. So I think he may have taken over after Pioli. Pioli was the New England guy.
Pioli was the New England guy.
And they turfed him.
Yeah. And then it also helps, too, that for whatever reason, no one wants their offensive coordinator, who is one of the best in football. And then Spags on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, he's good.
He's a really good guy. Last time I checked, he's got a Super Bowl or two with being a defensive coordinator. So you have two elite coordinators. You've got one of the best coaches that we've seen in the last 30 years. And you've put together a nice roster of stars on the offensive side of things, and then a nice collection of defensive talent that a lot of it is kind of no name. But how many times does Dan Sorensen, by the way, make a big play for them? Dirty Dan, BYU guy, he makes all kinds of plays for him, but he's just the sort of guy that you don't hear a lot about, but he comes through. And same thing with their linebackers, right? Most people can't name any of their linebackers.
Nope. They had 4 sacks, by the way. Frank Clark had 2.
Yeah. And he was under pressure all game long.
Is the thought with Bieniemy that perhaps just a lot of that is Andy Reid?
I don't know.
Is that the thing?
It makes no sense to me, because everybody from Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes to Andy Reid to anyone that's ever had any sort of run-in with this guy just raves about him from an X's and O's standpoint, from a leadership standpoint. I don't get it. And yet Josh McCown, who's never coached a day in his life, is getting head coaching interviews. It makes no sense to me. I don't get it.
There was a report yesterday that Bieniemy and Leslie Frazier were the two getting more interviews with the Texans.
More interviews now with the Texans.
So it could be him after the Super Bowl.
The only reason he got an interview with the Texans is because Deshaun Watson threw a hissy fit. It baffles me that you've got the best offense in football that's on the verge now of going to winning 2 straight Super Bowls, has been to the AFC title game 3 years in a row, is known for having the best offense in football, and yet their offensive coordinator can't be a finalist for a job. It doesn't make any sense.
By the way, Veach took over for John Dorsey, who took over for Scott Pioli. So Dorsey does probably deserve some credit here for some of these guys. I don't know
how everything got pieced together.
But they've built a juggernaut there.
I do know that when you look, after Mahomes signed his big contract, everyone was kind of looking at this and being like, "Whoa, is this going to be crippling?" But if you look at their contract situation, most of their guys are doing just fine. Although there is going to be, and this is we can have this conversation later in the week, as I know today we'll be talking mostly about the 2 games and then the Super Bowl, but there is an unprecedented cap drop that's going to happen this offseason, and it is going to be interesting because you are going to have a bunch of teams having to make tough decisions. We could have as many as 10 quarterbacks on the move, and by the way, some of those quarterbacks are big freaking names, and you start looking at the cap numbers of some of these guys, and we're not just talking about quarterbacks, but in general, there are going to be good players that are going to either take serious pay cuts or they are going to be released. This is going to be a really, really interesting offseason as the cap plummets. Remember, the NBA, they collectively bargained against this, right? Because they didn't want to have this situation where all of a sudden the cap number drops and you have all these teams sitting around going, oh, hell, the NFL hasn't done that. There is a reckoning coming with the salary cap, and I don't know how this is going to impact every team in the league, but it has a chance to be a seismic shift this offseason.
All right, let's get to Matt LaFleur and his screw up and the Green Bay Tampa game. We'll start carving that up next on The Fan.